Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Let's start from verse 7, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 9, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. Let's start from right there. Let's read the New King James Version, verse 9. The New King James Version says, Do not be carried away with diverse and strange doctrines or teachings, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. Not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. All right? And so Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, tells us that how should our hearts be established? Or what should our hearts be established in?
Grace.
He's saying that the message of grace, or the teaching of grace, is what our hearts need to be established in. If you are a new covenant believer, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the only way God wants your heart to be established is by being established in the understanding of grace. God wants grace to become a way of life, a lifestyle. The way we do life, the way we approach life should be out of an understanding of God's grace. Amen? Amen. The Bible says that we talked about we are saved by grace. But how many people know you're not just saved by grace? You're kept by grace. You stay saved by grace. Amen? You don't get saved by grace and then try to stay saved by your works or your efforts. You're saved by grace and you're maintained by God's grace. You are prospered by grace. You are made healthy by grace. You can become rich and prosper by grace. Everything that God wants to do for us is through the realm of grace. And just like how a lot of people understand faith, I believe people have now learned to put faith in their faith because they think it's their faith that's going to do the job. But it's not your faith. It's God giving you his grace according to your faith that makes your faith work. Many Christians wonder why their faith doesn't work because they're not depending on grace. But the Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. So faith works with grace. Faith and grace works hand in hand. Amen? So I believe that as so many Christians, we're excited about how much faith we have. But how many people know you don't even need a lot of faith? Jesus said all you need is the faith the size of a mustard seed. Yeah. Why? Because his grace is sufficient.
Wow.
Not the amount of faith you have. Yeah. Hallelujah. You come against a mountain and I say, man, I need more faith. You don't need more faith, you need more grace. Your mountains are moved by the grace you stand on, and the grace of God is what replaces our ability. So just as a brief recap, and like I said, grace must be a foundational approach to what we do. Paul said we cannot be carried away with various and strange doctrines. And pretty much Paul is saying any teaching or any doctrine that pulls you away from grace is a strange doctrine. It's not the gospel, and it's not something that will empower you in your life. He says, for example, people who teach, for example, in Paul's day, about foods, making sure you don't eat foods, certain foods that when they're saying that it's a law, you know what I mean? You can't eat pork, or you can't eat this, and if you don't eat this, then this won't happen to you. Paul said, people who preach this stuff, it doesn't profit them who are occupied with it. So don't get carried away with teachings that will encourage you to get involved with what we call legalism, right? Legalism is when you begin to depend on your works, your ability. When Paul talks about the law, you might see in scripture, Paul talks about the law, or he talks about the works of the flesh, or he may talk about dead works. Have you ever heard any of these terms? They're all connected to the same thing, right? The flesh. When you depend on the flesh, or you depend when you work according to the law, he's talking about you depending on your human ability. All right? That when God gave the law, the Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 17. So when God gave Moses the law, one of the things that happened was God commanded the people that you're going to have to keep all the law, keep all the commands. And if you try to, and if you keep all of them, you will be blessed, right? You'll be righteous. You will qualify for my blessings. But if you break any one of the laws, you'll be guilty, you'll be condemned, and you'll be cursed. And so whenever you come into a mindset where you're trying to please God according to your own works, or what we call the flesh, or depending on the law or rules, commandments, you're putting yourself back under a system or an administration that is no longer in effect. Because when Jesus Christ came, the Bible says he replaced the law with grace and truth. Amen. So look at your neighbor next to you and say, you are under administration of grace. You are above the law.
You are above the law.
That's good.
Amen. You are above the law. And God puts us into a place where we're above the law. Now, let's see. Let's turn to Ephesians 3. Because it was so interesting that Ryan talked about the fact about how he messed up the word administration, which is somewhere I'm going to camp around today, because I'm still giving you guys a better understanding of how grace works for us today, and how do we begin to get in on the power of God. I told you guys that grace translates into the word favor. The word grace, when you translate it, means favor. All right? So when we talk about this grace, we're talking about the favor of God. Let me give you guys a brief scenario. How many people have you guys been in school before, right?
No, not at all.
All right, in school, depending on what school you went to, there was sometimes you had assignments where you had to work in a group. Right, group assignments, and then like for certain projects you had to do, and then everybody in the group would be graded the same way. So I know some people didn't like that.
No.
People didn't like that.
Some didn't know what.
Why you didn't like that, Mercedes?
Because nobody did the work.
Yeah, true.
Because when you got into these groups, there was always turned out to be just like one person doing everything in the group.
Yeah.
And everybody else was just loafing off of them, mm-hmm. right? That was me. And honestly, that was me too. All right. I like group assignments because I felt like if it worked, it could have worked really well, but people just didn't like it. There was always just the person who didn't want to contribute anything. And then it was always that person who wanted to do everything.
Right.
It's like, I'm not messing up my grade.
Yep.
Ethan is in my group. I know he don't do nothing. So I'm going to do everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Touch it, I'll do it.
And so there was a girl in my class who was like Coco. She wanted to do everything. And she sat near me, so we always ended up in the same group. And she was smart, so I loved being in her group because I knew she was going to do everything. And I just wanted her to do it. Now, there were moments when I was in groups when I was like, okay, I know this guy. I don't know what he's talking about. So I'm going to take over because I knew the work and stuff. But it just was so funny. This one person, although, you know, I knew I can do the work too. But I was just like, you know, if this person wants to do all the work, go ahead. Better for me. And then you got 90 or so. But it came back to my mind when I was thinking about grace, because, you know, Jesus Christ encourages us to get into this thing, right? So, in a similar fashion, like, when we come to Christ, that we are in Christ, we become one body, we become a part of the body of Christ. But in reality, what Jesus is saying is this: I'll do all the work, and you just receive the benefits. And I realized when I don't, if I feel like, no, I got to contribute something, then I begin to now position myself outside of the grace because Jesus did all the work for us. So it now becomes, this is why grace is a favor or what we call a free gift, right? It's a free gift. And for many of us who like to do things ourselves, this is a hard pill to swallow. But God is trying to set us up for an easier life. So the Father says, look, you're going to get God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a nice acronym for grace. You're going to get everything that Jesus Christ deserves if you join his team, if you come to him and accept his salvation. Amen? Amen. Everything that Jesus Christ earned, we receive it. From now until forever. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1. Let's start from there first. Verse 3. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed some people, who has blessed a few of us. He blessed all of us. Who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places where? In Christ. So when I'm in Christ, I have access to every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God will shower blessings on my life once I understand that I'm in Christ and the work is finished. Why? Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. All right, so let's go back there. So one of the ways you understand what grace is a free gift motivated by love. You should be taking notes. Okay? Grace is a free gift motivated by love. It is God's favor given to you motivated by his love. We talked about how last week that we all sinned and we all fell short of the glory of God, right? And that we were all guilty before God's sight according to his justice system. Because we all sinned, we all deserve death. God in his mercy didn't give us what we deserved, but he forgave us of our sins. And then not only did he forgive us, he gave us his favor or an empowerment called grace that allows us to live the life that he intended for us from the very beginning. The Bible says that from the very beginning, even before the worlds were framed, God intended for us to be holy and to be without blame. Which means that God does not blame you for anything. That you're blameless before God. That despite of the sin that Adam committed and we all inherited, the Bible says that once you receive my grace, I'm going to call you holy and I'm going to call you blameless. God doesn't blame me for anything. Neither do we have to blame ourselves. Why? Because we are without blame before him in love. Go to verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So what else you want to know about grace is that grace is motivated by love. And I mentioned last week, grace initiates what? Grace is the initiation of a relationship. You see, God gives us grace because he wants to bring us into a relationship with him. You know? It's very important we understand that. Grace initiates a relationship. That when somebody does you good, like I mentioned, you're sitting down and you might be at Starbucks, and then ladies, a guy walks up to you and say, I want to pay for your coffee today. That's someone giving you grace, but why is he giving you grace? He'll talk to you. Conversation. He wants to try to initiate some form of a relationship, right? And when you realize that God gave us his grace when we didn't deserve it, so that we can be moved into, or not, I don't want to say compelled, but that we can be motivated in our own hearts to come to him and receive more of what he wants to offer us. Just like you can turn that guy down if he offers to pay for your coffee, you don't want it, think he's ugly, or you just don't want to talk to him, so be it. But the grace was extended, and it's up to you to receive it. And God is, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he what? Initiated a relationship by giving us his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life where? With him. So many people want eternal life, but they don't want God. The whole goal of the gospel is relationship. God wants relationship with us. Somebody say relationship.
Relationship.
God wants to know you, and he wants us to know him. And so God says, I'm going to lead you to repentance by continuing to be good to you. With my goodness, with my grace, amen, with my mercies over your life, I'm going to keep bringing you into a relationship with me. And this type of relationship, the Bible says, God predestined us to adoption. He brings us into his family as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That this was God's own pleasurable experience, that God was looking for this moment, that God took pleasure in saving you and bringing you into his family. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 6. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So we know that word praise means to what? Speak highly of, to boast about, to get excited about, right? So God wants us to understand his grace so that we can boast about it, we can speak highly about his grace, and speak about the glory that he's given us in Christ. And it's, you know, I really feel like there shouldn't be a more happier place in the world than the church. Because if we really considered everything that Jesus Christ did for us, that God did for us, there's no reason why we should ever have a sad day, a sad moment. And whenever you feel sad, you just begin to think about why I'm happy. Because of what Jesus did for us. I can be happy today. I can be happy tomorrow because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's not changing his mind about what he wanted to do for us. Come on. He's not changing his mind about blessing you. Amen.
Amen.
He's not changing his mind about making you blameless. He didn't change his mind. It didn't matter if you sin tomorrow in a horrific way. He's not changing his mind. I died for you so that you can enjoy my grace to the praise of my glory. So what else we say grace is? It's a favor. It's a free gift. It's motivated by love. It initiates relationship. And grace is power or an empowerment. Ephesians chapter 3, somebody say glory.
Glory.
See, when you understand the grace of God, you want to praise God every time you talk about it. Because this grace is flowing in your life right now. You don't even know it. Grace is moving, working behind the scenes right now in your life. But the way you get in on his grace is by believing and expecting God's grace and his mercy. Look what Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 1. Let's start at 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, highlight that word administration, and then I want you to jump down to verse 7. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Whenever God's grace is released in your life, church, it is an effective, what? Working of his power.
Yes.
That God doesn't just give you grace and it's weak, it's something weak. Grace is a powerful force working in your life. Grace is an empowerment. Paul said, I became a minister according to grace. According to this empowerment. Because you know what Paul was doing before he encountered grace? He was killing Christians. Paul, who was an advocate of the law who didn't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, believed that it was his duty to kill Christians to stop the church from growing because they denied the reality of Jesus Christ being the Messiah. So Paul was the one leading the charge when the church was being persecuted. Apostle Paul, before his name was Saul, was the one leading the charge to kill Christians. I'm talking about men, women, and children. Arresting them, putting them in prisons, and executing. Right? So he was extremely passionate about God, but he was zealous according to the wrong administration. Because he didn't understand that when Jesus Christ died for our sins, we no longer had to be punished for our sins, and that the church was not an organization designed to destroy religion, well, it was, but more importantly, it was designed to introduce the kingdom of God on earth. That God was introducing a new system on the earth, and that it was going to tear down every system of injustice, every system of shame and condemnation that was on the planet. God was getting ready to destroy the old system that was going to restore the kingdom of heaven on earth. Amen. That's how serious grace is. Because this one thing called grace is actually the way God is going to change the world. Because if we had grace in our justice system, we'll see more people's lives change. If we had grace in America, we will see things that we are struggling and trying to change by our own strength. We'll see the grace of God do the work for us. Grace is not just a free gift. It's not just a favor that God gives us, but it is an empowerment. It's God's supernatural power that gives people what they don't deserve. Grace works. You see, Paul says in verse 8, look what he said in verse 8. To me, I am less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given to me. Why did he say I'm the least of all saints? Because I least deserve this thing. Because I was responsible for so many lives. He was a murderer, church. And he lived with, he could have lived with that guilt for the rest of his life. That in my own ignorance, I was responsible for destroying families, for breaking up marriages, for killing people. Come on. If there's anybody who shouldn't be deserving of grace, it was Paul. But God knew Saul Paul and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He appeared to God and God gave him this grace, amen. And out of this grace, Paul was forever indebted because I know I didn't deserve what God gives me, so I'm gonna spend the rest of my life preaching and sharing this grace to people who don't deserve it. And let me tell you something, if you wanna get in on the grace of God, you gotta come to a place where you recognize that it's not something you deserve. God gives you a favor. Let me tell you what favor is. Favor is a special privilege. It's too much to write. I'm just going to speak it. You want to know what else favor is? It's preferential treatment.
Yeah.
When God gives you favor, church, he's giving you special privilege. He's giving you preferential treatment. When God gives you favor, he's intentionally being biased towards you. That in your life, God is going to be biased towards you because you receive his grace. Because you don't deserve it. But you know you don't deserve it. But you just believe God is so good and he's motivated by love. And because he loves me, he wants to be biased towards me. He wants to bless me when I don't deserve it. He wants to qualify me in places I don't qualify.
Yes.
He wants to give you first class when you only pay for economy. Come on. He wants you to get sales on stuff that was not even on sale in the supermarket.
Amen.
Come on. See, I want you to see how favor begins to work. He opens doors for you that you didn't open and that you can't open.
Right.
It's a world of blessings. Come on. God is inviting us, church, into a world of blessing, yes, of increase, of abundance. Because let me tell you something, if you learn to become wide-eyed and live every day expecting, say, God, you're motivated by love. You accepted me in the beloved. I didn't choose you, you chose me.
Wow.
And your favor is on my life. I live every day expecting favor. The other day, Ryan and I, after the very first Sunday, we preached, we talked about grace. Ryan, Shanique, and I decided to go to Panera Bread. I was like, I want some soup. Mm. We went to Panera Bread. The time we walked in, the girl was really nice to us. She was cracking jokes with us. I was like, okay, she's a nice person. And then I saw the bagels. I was like, what kind of bagel is that? And she told us the name of it. I was like, can I have one? She was like, yeah, sure, how many you want? She said, all right. I kept asking what the flavors was. She said, all right, we'll try some of that. We'll try some of this. Mm-hmm. By the time she gave us about 12 bagels, right? Mm-hmm. About 12 bagels. And we didn't pay for it. Mm-hmm. Wow. Then we went over on the other side, went to get our soups. And then she saw, I pointed out that she had it. She saw Peyton, and then Peyton pointed at a yogurt. And then she said, hey, you want one? She gave us about 5 yogurts. I mean, I didn't remember everything she got, but by the time we finished, we walked away with a bag like this, and we came for soup.
Wow.
She just gave us favor.
Thank God.
And then the best thing was, after in her generosity, we looked at her, and then we had a chance to minister to her. Wow. I said, you don't even know why you're being nice to us. We told her who we was, and then we just came from church. She asked us for prayer, wow. And we were able to pray for and minister to her right there. See, and I literally live every day expecting favor. Wherever I go, I expect the grace of God to work because I know God wants to be intentionally biased towards me because I'm in Him, because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Can you imagine living that way?
Yes.
The God of all creation, the God of the universe wants to show favor to you. When you have favor with God, you have favor with man.
That's right.
You have favor with people. Jesus, on this day, Palm Sunday, right, Jesus went to Jerusalem. He told the disciples, look, go tell that guy, that donkey that he has tied up, tell him the Lord has need of it. Okay. If anybody asks you on the way, what you doing? The Lord has need of you. Amen. And he got the donkey. He rode in town with it. He didn't pay for it. It was grace. Hallelujah. Come on, when you have grace, God will make provision for you to do what He called you to do. And you don't got to fight, you don't got to strive, you don't got to work yourself up for it, because this is the administration or the dispensation that we are under today. We are under the administration and dispensation of the grace of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, so Paul said, I didn't deserve it. Let's say that with him. I don't deserve it.
I don't deserve it.
But I receive it.
But I receive it.
Yes. Hallelujah. Come on, Ebony said she went as an apple, walked away with a phone. She didn't pay for it. Hallelujah. Eli testified the other day, I had a job and I don't even qualify for it. My resume doesn't match the qualifications they want, but they gave me the job. This is grace. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Grace. All right, so this is what I wanted to highlight today. I'm trying to get it wrapped up. So Paul made it very clear, however, look at what he said. In verse 2, he says, surely you have heard about the administration or the dispensation. The word administration or the administration, if you on your job, the administration is responsible for what? Getting things done. Right? And so when we talk about the dispensation or the administration, it's very important you understand this. It's very key. Grace is the administration of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the way the Holy Spirit gets things done in us. It's the way God gets things done in our lives today. It's by grace. And again, so many people want God's results, but they don't want to do it God's way. Come on. If you want the supernatural, if you want to see the miraculous, if you want to see God do the unthinkable, the impossible, then you've got to learn to depend on grace.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Grace replaces your way of doing things, and it is God's way of getting things done by giving you favor, giving you an empowerment and ability to do what you can't do in your own strength. It's God giving you a special privilege, preferring you. That word favor means that you're somebody's favorite. So that means you're God's favorite. I want you to be on your job and know that you're God's favorite, and expect favor on your job. See, this works into every area of your life. If God says, listen, I'm calling you to get a house this year. You go to the bank and you're not worried about your credit. You're not worried about what it is. I said, God, you said I'm going to have, I'm getting a house. I'm going to rely on your grace. I've seen it. People don't got the credit they need, but God will give them favor. I just like you for some reason. I got another buyer. He got a house. Hey, I'm gonna sign you up with him so you can get this house. I've seen it. But I think that the ocean of grace, God wants to immerse us in it. That what we begin, the Bible says God wants, how many of you know God says, I want blessings to overtake you?
Yes.
How many people got blessings overtaking them yet? So there's more. You know what overtake means? It's like you're running.
Yeah,
and the blessings come and overtake you. Like it just throws you down on the floor. Like you can't get away from it. Like one after the other. Like you gotta tell yourself, stop, no more blessings. This is too much. Because the word bless literally means to be envied. That's what blessed means. You ain't really blessed yet until you're envied by people. Because God wants people to be provoked to jealousy. That when they see you, they're going to like, why is all this good stuff happening to you? I'll tell you why. It's by grace.
Yes.
It's because of the goodness of God. And I'm his favorite. But you can be one too. Because he died for everybody.
Yes.
Amen. Why is my business prospering when everybody else is crumbling? It's just his favor on my life. Mm-hmm. Come on. When the Lord is with you, he's with you and he marks your life with favor. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
Give me a few more minutes. So grace is God's way of getting things done. It's his administration. It's the leadership style of the Holy Spirit. So when we're led by the Holy Spirit, he leads us through grace. And grace is designed to replace my own ability with God's ability. God replaces. See, I don't want to turn to another verse, but I'm just going to say it. Like I said, when I talk about grace, the fact that it works when you don't deserve it, it also means when you don't qualify, like I said, when you're not strong enough, when you don't have enough money, when you're not wise enough or intelligent enough, that's when grace begins to kick in. All right? James, the Bible says, God says, I give my grace to the humble, but the proud I cast away. See, grace is given to humble people because the humble understand I'm not strong in my own strength. So humility is all about. It's about knowing that in my own ability, I don't measure up. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. And the worst thing for us as Christians, because this is the source of so many frustration in Christians today, is that we have a tendency of relying and depending on our accomplishments. We have a tendency of relying on what we've done in the natural, in our own ability, and our good becomes the enemy to our best and our greatest.
Yes.
Because we're not our best in our own strength. We're at our best when God's grace takes over.
Yes.
So that's why Paul said, I count all my accomplishments as dung. Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8. He said, all my accomplishments, I count them as dung. Doo-doo. Another form of heaven word. All right, but he says all that my accomplishments are worth nothing, and Paul accomplished a lot. But he says, you know what? Only way I'm going to get in this grace is if I understand that what I've earned, I'm not going to rely on that. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him and lean not to my own understanding. Yes, because that's when grace begins to work. Yes. So what I'd like to do is humble myself. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Oh, can you say it with me?
Lord.
I humble myself. My accomplishments.
My accomplishments.
My qualifications.
My abilities.
They're okay.
But I count them as dumb.
So that your grace
can replace my works.
Amen.
And
you gotta pray that. You gotta live today because your flesh is always gonna try. to get you to work out of your own strength. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when you begin to say, you know what, I don't got enough money, I can't afford to do this, I can't get this done, that's you depending on your own strength.
Yes.
Grace says, well, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's strengthening us with grace. With favor. Hallelujah. His favor. Special privileges. Preferential treatment. Hey. Glory.
Yes.
I feel like shouting. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm excited for you. Because just by hearing this, grace is about to start working in your life. My God. I don't know what you need right now. Just receive by grace. Yes. I'm telling you, what you need, God is working. See, it's the way the Holy Spirit gets things done. It's his administration. And so when you rely on it, see, it's grace and truth. So I believe what Jesus did for me, that Jesus Christ put me in this class bracket of favor. It's a separate bracket. I'm not middle class. I'm not low class, whatever it is. I'm just in grace. And when I live in his grace, it doesn't matter how much money I have. Let me show you this last verse, and then we're done. Romans 5. Romans 5. See, all things become possible to you when you rely on grace. Fear can't keep you back. Your weaknesses can't keep you back. When you truly learn to repent, to change your way of thinking, and learn to fall in line with the administration of grace. Look at what happens. Go jump straight down to verse 17. Watch this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. One man's offense, he's talking about Adam. So through one man's offense, when Adam sinned, death reigned through that one person. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. All right? If you learn to make it your priority to approach life, getting your heart established in grace, and learn to do life and approach life, not according to your own strength, not your own willpower, that's played out now. The world tried that before. God is saying there's a new thing, a new administration. You don't gotta try to do things on your own. You know when you live according to the world system? This is something the Lord revealed to me this morning. Grace is designed to replace the slave mentality in us. I'm not talking about African slavery either. It's a spiritual slavery where we believe that we have to work to get everything. Because God never created us to live that way. Let me write down what I wrote. This is my revelation. The Lord wants to treat us like royalty. You see, royalty doesn't have to pay for a lot of stuff. I don't know if anybody hung out with royalty before. But when you're royalty in this life, you don't gotta work. You don't have to work hard. You choose to work. Anybody watch Coming to America?
Yeah.
So we can relate on that. I don't know if y'all saw it. You see Prince Hakeem, how he was treated? Is that Munda? I want you to see yourself like that in God's kingdom. That's how God wants to treat you. That God wants angels to work on your behalf. And God wants to open doors for you that you don't got to strive to kick open. You see, the slave has to work for everything they have. And the world is under a slave system because they're in slavery. They're in bondage. And they're working for somebody who's not God. They're working for the devil. And whenever you get stuck in the world system, you go right into a slave mindset. where you think you gotta live and work and work and work to make ends meet. But when grace replaces slave mindsets, you can now walk in the abundance that God gives us so that you can reign in life.
Yes.
He gave that very term. You will reign. You will live like royalty because you will get stuff that you didn't want to have to work hard for. So the Lord wants to treat us like royalty. Grace sets us free from a slave mentality. We become royalty in God's sight. We reign in life. A slave has to work for a living, but in the kingdom, we rest and we live off of the abundance of our Father. See, grace moves you from being a slave to being a son. If I know that I am God's son, if you believe that you are now God's beloved, you are in his fold, that you are his son and his daughter, then God wants to treat you like it. And the way that royalty treats their children is by giving them favor. Hallelujah.
Yes.
By giving them grace.
Yes.
Son, you don't have to work. It's already paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Daughter, you don't gotta fight. I already got somebody, I sent somebody ready to open up the door for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Can you see yourself in that light?
Yes.
Can you see yourself, God, being biased towards you? And you can tell the devil that too. See, devil, God is biased towards me. So you see what you're trying to slow down and you're trying to stop? You can't stop it. I'm undeniable.
Yes.
I am undeniable in this world. I will reign in life. And you got to confess these things because it's up to you to believe it. Because
yes.
When you believe it is when you receive
it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
So let me I'll finish off with this. Grace takes you out of lack and puts you into abundance. Grace moves you from slavery and moves you to royalty. Grace moves you from hard work and puts you into easy work. Grace moves you from striving and puts you into thriving. Grace moves you from limits to no limits, from limitations to no limitations. Right? The limits are on me and my own effort. There's limits to what I can do. But when God is doing the work, there is no limits. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
So no limits. Say no limits.
No limits.
Grace moves me from powerless to powerful. Grace moves me from last to first. Grace moves me from weak to strong. Grace moves me from poor to rich. Grace moves me from broken to restored. Grace moves me from excluded to included. Want some more? You move from denied to undeniable. When you have favor, you live expecting good to happen to you. That's all it is. And no matter what bad may appear before you right now, expect favor in every situation. And I'm telling you, if you make favor and grace a lifestyle, church, every situation you face, you will see the hand of God working because God's design for you right now in him is that no matter what it looks like, there is favor working for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you focus on the lack, you won't see the abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? If you fall back into slavery, you're going to be working and working and working, trying to get something God freely wants to give you. Jesus didn't fight to draw a multitude. They came, and he lived out of the grace. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People are going to hear the grace of God, experience the goodness of God. While we do our part, grace will do everything else.
Yeah.
In your life, you will see increase. In your life, you will see your money begin to stretch and go farther than you can accomplish with your own if you rely on grace. But in order for that to happen, I got to repent from my own efforts and say, Lord, I'm not going to go through life struggling and striving to try to do it by myself. I'm going to rely and depend on you. And the more you depend on his grace and you see him come through for you, the more you learn to trust him, the more you learn to walk with him, and the deeper your relationship with God will become. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if you're excited, I want you to give God praise to the glory of his grace. Come on.
Amen.